Fascinating and unusual careers often pique our curiosity, and our next guest has certainly done that. Often described as an arts insider, Amy Abrams is a former publishing executive at major art magazines, including Art and Antiques. She's also an author, art critic, and widely read journalist with hundreds of stories published in the Wall Street Journal, Art in America, and Village Voice Media.
Amy joins us in the studio to take us behind the scenes into the exclusive art world, including her intimate interview with Yoko Ono. We'll also explore which artists top the list money-wise, buying art for an investment, and how to not only survive, but climb to the top of this cutthroat business. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Well, we understand you found your way into this elite New York art scene, and you built your career in the high-pressured business. But to get your foot in the door, you started as a receptionist, and then a golden opportunity presented itself. So tell us what happened.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to share that story. I got my foot in the door by simply answering the telephone at a growing art magazine called Art and Antiques. After 6 months of saying, "Welcome, this is Art and Antiques. How may I help you?" I said, "I must get out of this seat." An opportunity arose on the business side of the publication. While my dream was to get onto the editorial side and write, I knew that an opportunity presented itself that I shouldn't pass up. I went on to be the highest grossing account executive at that publication, pulling in $500,000 annually, and then rose up to be the associate publisher running the business side of a magazine of a publication in D.C. called Museum and Arts Washington, where I increased ad pages by 35% in the very first year I was there. So I was young and kind of flying by the seat of my pants. It was a very exciting time for me.
Well, Amy, I'm dying to know, who did you talk to on the phone where you got this opportunity?
Well, it's so funny that you should mention that, because this was the 1980s where little ads appeared in the back of the New York Times newspaper for jobs. No one could imagine that in this day and age of the internet, but I got my first job by a little classified advertisement in the New York Times.
Wow. You just circled it and called, and then you landed it.
That was it. And what's really amusing about that is that the person who interviewed me looked me in the eye and said, "This is a job answering the telephone. I just want you to know that this is not a job that you're going to be moving up." And what's even funnier about that is when I moved over to the publication in D.C., she personally called me to come back to Art and Antiques to run that publication. I wasn't able to move back to New York at the time, but I thought that was kind of ironic.
Well, I hope she remembered what she had said to you.
Yeah. I didn't bring it up. I thought it was a little too cruel.
Politics, right?
But, you know, I think that's a great lesson right now for our kids, you know, who are, you know, coming into a very, you know, they are, we know, in a challenging job market, et cetera. But it's getting your foot in the door. That even if you think, "Oh my God, I don't want to do this job, it's not going anywhere," but you just never know.
Right.
Right?
And when they tell you that it's not going to go anywhere, then you do the opposite. Then you make it work.
Right. Right.
I think that opening the office and closing the office every day had little something to do with it. What I mean is that you put in your hard work and it pays off.
Exactly. Great. But okay, so here you were, very successful, obviously, in ad sales. Good for you. Because that's hard. I've been in sales, and I know that's tough. It's a tough job. But then you switched. So was it just always your passion, or why was it the transition? I mean, did you need different work hours, or what was it? Or you just wanted to get into the other side of the business?
I found that I always wanted to live the dream of being an arts writer, to be creative myself. And I had learned so many interesting things. It was wonderful to have the opportunity to rise up on the business side of art magazine publishing, to be within the exciting worlds of publishing and the arts. But I wanted to play a role as the artist herself, and that meant that I could write. And so I took a leap. And it was brave when I look back. In fact, it could be even coined a harebrained scheme.
Oh, we know about those.
We have lots of those.
If I knew the mountain and how tall it was, I don't think I would have kept going. But one foot in front of the other got me there, and it was quite challenging learning a whole new business and all new skills.
If you just joined us, we are speaking with Arts Insider Amy Abrams, who is giving us an inside glimpse into the mysterious and swanky art world. Okay, Amy, so we want to talk about, you really had a fascinating career. And like you said, boy, talking to Yoko Ono, that really must have been a terrific experience. But tell us about women in the arts. And here you were from several different aspects. How are sales for women artists?
What's remarkable is that while many strides have been made within many fields for women, largely due to the feminist movement of the 70s, in the art world, that women are still vying for equality. Something quite shocking is a 2012 audit of the art world, which documented that every artist in the top 100 auction sales last year was a man. There was not one woman on the list.
So who topped the sales?
Well, we always have the king of pop art, Andy Warhol himself, the undisputed king, who is still a superstar and the winner of the year with over $380 million in sales.
Wow.
So it's really quite fascinating how some of these works of art have such high price points. His three-dimensional painting of the Statue of Liberty topped his lots, selling for $43.8 million.
That's a chunk of change.
Wow. And was it a private collector?
Yes, it was a private collector who purchased that. Many of these works get sold at auction. For example, the highest selling work of Picasso that year sold at Sotheby's. Picasso turned in an impressive $334.9 million in auction sales in 2012.
Wow. So, if we babes wanted to put some nickels together, and I'm talking nickels, not millions of dollars, and invest in art, how do we even start? How do we buy that work of art that maybe in 20 years is going to be worth several million dollars?
Anywhere you start is a good place to start. Collectors begin with prints and works on paper versus paintings, so that you're able to purchase a relatively well-known artist, but not have it be a major work of art. So, for example, you can buy a Picasso and you can buy it on loan, put a couple hundred dollars over a period of years.
Like layaway art.
Okay, you can go into almost any gallery and layaway art. They will work with you.
But how much are we talking about with a Picasso?
You
can lay away a Picasso. For a couple of thousand dollars, you can own and hang a Picasso on your living room wall, where if you were to, that would be a print, if you were to buy a painting, you're going to go into the hundreds of thousands or millions.
Okay, So Picasso, I recognize. How do we discover the up-and-coming artists that might be worth a lot of money eventually?
And who are some of the up-and-coming artists?
They are coined emerging artists in the art world, and it's a great way to get started buying the work of someone who is at the beginning of their career. What's most important is, does that work move you? That work will be hanging in your home.
Right. And so buy what you like.
Buy what you like.
Well, and I wouldn't mind selling it for a few million in another 10 years either.
And absolutely, it should be within your thinking that, will this work appreciate? Will it be worth more than I paid for it? And there are many resources you can use to evaluate that. You want to look at the artist's career and evaluate it. How many solo shows? How many single shows of their work have been showcased in galleries? Have works been published in newspapers and magazines? Are they included in books? What are their works selling for at auction? And so these are ways in which you can actually quantify what you're buying.
And is it good to start maybe with local artists so your universe isn't so big?
It's a wonderful idea to start with local artists because you can go to the galleries in your hometown on your own Main Street and get to know what works are there. It's also just heartwarming to think that you're supporting the artists who live in your town. And so you can get to know them and follow their work, and that's fun as well. So art as investment has changed. Over the past 30 years, people have documented what paintings and prints and works of clay have done compared to the S&P 500. And it has run pretty close, nose to nose. However, during the past 8 to 10 years, because we're in an economic decline, art investment has actually surpassed the stock market. And so things are changing.
Oh, there's opportunities for us. Amy, you just published a beautiful new book, which captures the paintings of contemporary Western artist Bill Shank. Is he today's Andy Warhol?
Bill Shank has been coined the Warhol of the West. He's using icons and imagery of that area, cowboys, Indians, cowgirls, to debunk the long-standing myths of those characters, as well as the creation story of our country.
Well, which is really great. And he also really portrays cowgirls, too. Or he wraps in stories of the women in the West and their importance.
Historically, women have been signified subservient in the West, as if they followed their husbands out there. Indeed, they were very much a part of ranch life, riding the range, herding in the horses, and Bill is celebrating their courage and skills in his paintings.
Arts insider Amy Abrams, and author of The Cage and the Key and Shank in the 21st Century, thanks so much for really kind of taking us behind the scenes and offering us some tips for the art world.
Great to be here, girls. Thanks so much.
Up next, the growing phenomenon of online book clubs. Stay with us.